Let's go to the fun load. Is PJ here? Is he here? I feel like he's not here. I'm worried he's not here.
Okay.
Well, let's do without him then. Let's, yeah.
Now, here he comes.
I had to just get Steve Stevens. He's playing live.
And he's bringing the Surge Cola with him.
Hi, Peach.
Well, hello.
I'm gonna pause right now. I'm gonna try something. Okay. I want everybody to just take a breath. We're gonna move to the fun load. I need to disable the wireless on the computer that is running the show right now. We may lose the feed, but we'll get it back.
Oh no!
Just wait 1 second. Just wait. Everybody okay with this? You guys cool?
Yeah, so, everybody, thanks for listening.
So, to quote Marvin Berry, don't nobody go nowhere. Who?
Waiting.
Are we all still here?
I'm here.
It worked.
Here.
I'm here.
It worked. All right, good. We're good. Excellent. Hi, Peach.
Hey, fantastic. Hey, fantastic. Hey.
And that was Marvin Berry and the Starlighters from Back to the Future.
Well, Marvin Berry.
Oh.
Marvin Berry and the Starlighters. Don't nobody. We're going to take a little break, but don't nobody go nowhere. That's tremendous. It's like a sexual chocolate. It's like a mic drop. It's very good to use. How are you, Peach?
Speaking of classic movies from our era, my son has decided that his 10th birthday party will be a Raiders of the Lost Ark themed party.
Oh my goodness. I love this kid.
Come on. Do you want to come? I will invite you.
Yes. What do you mean, do I want to come? No, no.
Please
yes.
come.
We're coming. We're in.
Is it in Jersey?
You got to dress
Jersey.
Up, though.
Like, that's going to be a problem. Do I get to dress up Wesley as Short Round or no?
For sure.
I mean, I thought that would be a given.
That would be fantastic. I'm trying to figure out what makes a good Indiana Jones cake.
Oh, man. The Ark of the Covenant, obviously.
That might be a little tricky.
What kind
tricky.
Of cake? Like a marble cake?
Something I can serve to ravenous 10-year-olds who are destroying my basement for the entire afternoon. But for some reason, I reward them with pizza and cake.
Hey, two things. Happy New Year, buddy.
Should old acquaintance.
Okay,
yes,
oh,
Happy
no,
New Year to both of you, of course.
Don't do that. And then
right.
B, a happy birthday.
Oh,
belated.
There it is.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh,
yeah.
No.
Yep, it happened.
It happened. Did.
Happy birthday a couple days ago. What did you do for the big birthday? What did the big Bishop Donut do? Did you have a donut?
As you know, my birthdays are traditionally a time of great suffering and loneliness and disappointment.
Sounds great.
Yes, this year was no different. I had to work. And,
all right, sir.
Ended up buying a present for myself.
Later. In the form of a Krulla.
I bought myself a musical instrument, which I will not name until I can show it to you.
No, you didn't.
I did.
Oh, my goodness. Been a while since you've done that, I feel like.
I know.
It's been a while.
I have to be really ticked off to go get one.
This is right. You have to be really feeling some sort of existential existential crisis. When you go buy an instrument, I'm sure that your wife is, you know, Tina's like, okay, what's going on? Let's sit down and talk about it.
Oh, the kids didn't make me a card, and I got no presents, and you gave me a shirt.
Shirt. And not just even a shirt with anything on it. It's like a regular Gap shirt.
It's just a shirt.
It's not even like a cool T-shirt with like Schroeder on it or something. It's just
it's a
regular
Crofton Barrow from Kohl's.
Actually, Cal, ding ding, you win. It wasn't Crofton Barrow.
I sense that someone has received the same birthday gift.
Happy birthday. Here's a shirt from Kohl's.
Yeah, my birthday's become low key to the point of no one remembers but me. Oh yeah. Oh, guys, it's my birthday. Oh yeah. Okay, go ahead. Go play. Fine. Whatever.
Should we play the Charlie Brown music now or later?
Yeah, it's me.
Walking past the red dog house, like on Arrested Development.
And then out of nowhere, my in-laws show up and give me just this giant card with cash in it. Like,
see, no, that's
please
nice.
Please don't. It was the bribe. It was the please don't leave bribe.
It's hush money.
Yeah, I was really well paid. So that
you're
was
not
nice.
Leaving, right? You're not going anywhere, right? You saw the big card with the cash in it, right? I know the Kohl's shirt. Don't worry about the Kohl's shirt. I've talked to her about the Kohl's shirt. So you can't tell me what you bought yourself?
All right, I'll tell you.
Okay.
I took a lot of convincing, didn't I?
Yeah, that was really hard.
I bought myself a banjo.
Okay. Is it just a whole nother episode you just opened
I'll
up?
I'll let you think about that for a while. That's where I'm going.
Cal, I know you have questions. I have one. I have one question. You bought a banjo.
Yes.
For yourself. You don't play the banjo.
I do not. I'm untrained.
Okay. What, I'm going to put you on the spot. What is the song that you want to be able to play? Now, we should preface this by saying you're a guitarist and a wonderful one. You're a piano player. You're a musician. You have a ton of musical acumen. So you learning to play the banjo, not out of the question by any means. It's not like me picking up a banjo.
You'd be
Which
fine.
Would be
come
just
on.
Disastrous. Just terrible. What is the one song you want to learn? It's like I
Here's
have like
the
a
thing.
I have a like a guitar song. Like there's one song I want to be able to play on guitar.
Right.
What is your banjo song?
Friend of the show, Brian Stevens.
Yes.
Called me and asked me to be in a band with him. And he said he wanted to try a set of Mumford style songs, but he didn't want to play Mumford songs. So he said, "I figured you'd be the guy to call to write some Mumford songs that were original."
Okay.
And I said, "Oh, okay, I'll do that." And I started to write some songs, and I said, it sounds okay on guitar, but I think it would be nice if I had a banjo handy. So this is a whole thing. This is a whole project that may or may not happen. But
so you're saying it's part of a project?
It's kind of part of a project, yeah.
Project Banjo Mumford.
Mm-hmm.
All right, sir.
Well, it's kind of like I'm inspired by like Neutral Milk Hotel. You know,
okay.
They were like, well, wouldn't it be great if we had a horn player here? And one guy said, well, I own a trumpet. And they said, well, can you play it? And he said, no, but give me a week and I'll learn how to play something.
Wouldn't it be great if we had a guy who played a saw? Yeah.
And the guy went, I own a saw?
I have a huge saw that you see in cartoons to cut down trees. Yeah.
Totally.
Can you
that.
Play it? Give me a week. I'll see what I can do.
Can I ever?
Guy turned out to be the best thing in the band.
Exactly. But you didn't answer the question. I want a real song. I want a genuine song.
A song that I look forward to being able to cover is, of course, Rainbow Connection.
Really? Oh, I love that.
Love.
You went with the sentimental choice, though. That's like the song I sing to the kids and stuff. It's very sentimental.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that song.
I'm that guy.
That's me. I'm sort of, you know.
The great thing
Ernest
about Rainbow Connection is oh, hi, Ernest Turrefault. Boy, I went for the cheap one there. The great thing about Rainbow Connection is that Teresa started singing it to Casey as like a sleep song. But she doesn't know all the words. She only knows like a verse and a half. But it became like one he would look forward to. So there were moments where I had to put him back to sleep, and I tried Rainbow Connection, and it turns out we only know the same verse and a half. So it worked out well. And you go back to like the, why are there so many? And you go to the, you know, you go to the, we try so many times to ignore it. Somehow they never learn. That's not the words, even remotely. Someday we'll find it. Everybody knows that part. And then you go back to the, why are there so many songs about, and that's it. That's all we had. And my son, Casey, like at some point was like, I think there's, he's 16 months old, but he's looking at us like, I think there are other verses here.
Yeah.
That can't be the whole song.
Well, there's a verse about have you been half asleep and do you hear voices? So you might want to just skip that one anyway.
I know.
I don't know if you want to whip that verse out on him anyway.
Sweet dreams. Yeah, exactly. Good night, sweetheart. Do you hear voices? Good night.
I love the Muppet movie.
That's a who doesn't? Hey, look, if you don't, I'm not doing business with you. That's it. I'll keep it simple. I'm not doing business with you.
The Muppet Movie is to a newer generation of kids, the Muppet Movie is too slow.
Is that right?
Yeah. Many of the Muppet movies lack the pacing to hold kids' attention if they're not Muppet fanatics in general.
Except the new one. The Amy Adams one and the what's his face? Justin Siegel or Jason Siegel. Justin Siegel's not even a guy. those I watched that with Wesley. That moved very fast.
And very good. It's very well done.
Really well done. I enjoyed them as well. We've lost Cal here. Hopefully he'll be able to get back in. He was having trouble with his connection. But
Figured he was stepping aside for the Muppet conversation because, you know.
No, he's a Muppet guy.
Is he? Okay.
He's a Muppet guy.
He wouldn't want to weigh in.
He said that like you could keep him in the inner circle. Oh, okay. Okay, good. A little worried there. We're going to have to cut him out. I want to talk about diners.
Real quick, who's your favorite Muppet?
Oh, excellent. Cal, we're having a Muppet conversation. Welcome back, buddy.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah. Did you get everything worked out there?
No.
Okay. We've been talking about the Muppets for 20 minutes, so it's great. Your favorite Rainbow Connection? Because that's the one song that PJ wants to learn how to play on banjo.
Is that the instrument?
Did you miss that part?
Yeah, I didn't.
Oh, spoiler alert. Yes.
Oh, no.
It's a banjo.
Nobody said spoiler alert to Cal.
Damn.
Well, I guess you can't listen back to this podcast.
Bruce Willis is dead.
Bruce Willis is dead at the end. He's dead. Luke and Darth Vader. Darth Vader's his father. I don't know how it happened. My favorite Muppet. Oh, that's a great question.
Yeah.
Because it's changed.
And you go from Sesame Street and from the Muppet universe outside Sesame Street.
I can include Sesame Street?
Well, do one of each. One from each.
The amazing thing is it's changed. Like, the Muppet I loved as a kid is different now because I have kids. So, like, I see them, and they're Sesame Street junkies. So I see them all the time. I'm very acquainted with these people. As a kid on The Muppet Show, I loved Scooter. Loved him.
Mm.
That was my guy. Loved Scooter. Loved him.
Do you know Scooter's song?
No.
Are you able to, you're able to teach the Scooter song to your kids?
Didn't love him that much.
Come on, Scooter had one song.
All right. Was it about
Have
Scotch?
Have you heard the sound?
Scotch?
No.
What was it? I don't know.
The song about the worms.
Wow, I have no recollection of this.
Have you heard the sound? The greatest song around.
Got nothing.
Okay. All right. It's about
Muppet.
Worms. Scooter's your favorite Muppet. Wow.
I was a big Scooter guy. He had that satin jacket. I was a big Scooter guy.
Well, his dad owned the theater.
That's correct. That's right.
He was living high on the hog.
He couldn't push Scooter around because he would always, you know, threaten to tell his dad.
He had a silver spoon in his mouth. His dad owned the theater.
He's the entitled Muppet.
he kind of was. He was kind of rich and entitled and aloof, and he didn't get it. He didn't understand that everybody else was working.
Right. What are you guys doing? Just Scooter, man. I'm just hanging out. God. Everybody just chill out. What are you worried about? We'll put on a show.
Why are you so stressed?
talking to union delegates. It's time to light the lights. Let's go. Let's go.
Don't worry, my dad will take care of it.
My dad's got it. This Scooter is like a laid-back, spoiled silver spoon in his mouth Muppet.
He's like a Kardashian.
What about your
right? What are you guys worried about? The show will come off. God. My dad will fix it. Don't worry about it.
Hey, get my Range Rover. We're going to go driving. Come on.
Kermit, hop in here. Yeah, I know. I know.
Now we're making Scooter a jerk, and that's not fair. Come on.
Yeah. It's a Benz. What's the big deal? Come on, get in. Grab Fozzie. Fozzie, sit in the back, though.
Who's your favorite Sesame Street Muppet, then?
I was a big Count guy as a kid.
Mm.
And that has continued into adulthood, because I love the Count. The Count's fun times. I like Cookie Monster quite a bit. But I like the Count. I really do.
Was he modeled after Jamie Farr?
The Count?
Yeah.
I'm going to say no.
Jamie Farr from MASH.
We know who you're talking about.
We're familiar.
Okay.
Jamie Farr is our favorite Muppet from MASH.
Klinger?
Klinger?
Klinger.
He modeled after Jamie Farr. That might be the greatest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Am I the only one that sees a resemblance?
Oh no, I see.
Or am I off base here?
No, you're fine there. Okay. He looks like Jamie Farr.
What if the Count was Lebanese and from Toledo
and dressed in drag? That's one great number. How do you like this outfit? Who's your favorite Muppet, tough guy?
Who are you talking to?
Talking to me.
Who's the tough guy in question?
PJ.
My favorite Muppet is Ralph.
Yes! He's always in charge.
He's cool, he's funny, he never had to wear clothes, even though everyone else in the band was wearing clothes.
It's a great point. That's a tremendous point.
He He was
like, even
floppy.
Even
he
animals,
awesome.
Even animals wearing clothes. Like, why
everybody
is animal?
Was wearing clothes.
I don't even know what animal
Ralph
is.
Is undressed.
That's it. Naked. Fur baby.
Naked. Yeah. So for Muppet World, it would be Ralph, and for Sesame Street World, it is without a doubt Grover.
Now, how do you feel about Super Grover, though?
I was Super Grover.
Oh boy, that was you.
I was the kid who parents had to worry about was going to throw himself out of a window. I put a blanket on, wrap it around me as a cape, take
that
a colander,
you.
Put it on my head, and go flying through the house. I was Super Grover. And I thought it was hilarious that he crashed, so I had no problems crashing into anything.
With the powers of observation? That's great.
Super Grover.
I could totally envision that. All right, Cal, what do you got?
Now, that would have been, by the way, you want to get me a good birthday present? If my wife had shown up with a Super Grover T-shirt, I'd be building her a house right now, twice as big.
They don't sell them at Kohl's.
They don't sell them at Kohl's.
I know.
Only Croft and Barrow.
I was just thinking that. She could have gone to, like, Target and
Target
gotten you a,
them.
Yeah, he gotten you a, the Super Grover T.
Old Navy.
Sure. How about that?
What she says on a yearly basis is, I never know what you like. So why don't you just get something that you like?
You guys have been together for 114 years.
Yes, 25.
What she's saying is literally impossible.
I know.
She absolutely, it's the biggest cop-out I have ever heard in my life. I
what
don't know what
saying
she likes.
Is, your,
except
your
I've
birthday
known
is
you
too close to Christmas. No, she said
right.
Your birthday is too close to Christmas. I'm tired. Get it yourself.
Why doesn't
too
she
close
just
for comfort also.
It also is Monroe. Mr. Rod. Mr. Rod. How hot were those sisters, by the way?
Only one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait.
And not the one you think.
Let me guess.
You like Deborah von Valkenburg.
That was the brunette.
Yep. Right?
I knew it. I was
going to
say
knew
the
it.
And I think I feel pretty confident saying that the producers of the show did that on purpose, where they used the blonde to draw you in, and then all of a sudden it was like, oh, wait a minute.
The brunette is hotter.
You over there. I hadn't noticed you on the big fluffy couch that Mr. Rush falls off of.
Fantastic couch.
Probably the greatest couch in sitcom history. I mean, that's great. You don't get much more comedy out of a couch than they got out of that. You don't often see that much comedy derived from a piece of furniture. I mean, talk about using
unless
a set piece.
Van Dyke. Yeah.
That's a good point. That's a very good point. There's a rich history of using set pieces for comedy in sitcoms. But sure. That you liked, what was her name, though? I mean, I've just heard her real name, which is unbelievable that you had that on the tip of your tongue. What was her name? What were their names on the show, though, the sisters?
Oh, who knows?
No.
I don't remember.
Greta and Naomi.
Van Susteren.
And Van Susteren. That's correct.
I just remember Henry Rush and his wife Muriel.
And his wife Muriel, yes.
And of course.
And Monroe.
Monroe. Monroe Farkas.
His last name.
And I cannot remember the sisters.
Who played the wife?
Oh, she was
Salt.
Nancy DeSalt, that's right.
Very good.
She was fantastic.
She was a great straight man.
What a terrible
The daughters'
show.
Names were Jackie and Sarah.
Jackie and Sarah. Right. What a terrible show. Terrible.
Are you kidding me?
What are you talking about? 129
that show was
episodes.
Great. They did 129 episodes of that show?
Yes, they
great.
Did.
That show was on for 5 years?
It was in syndication. That's how we saw it. Did you ever see Too Close for Comfort on a weeknight?
Like a Tuesday night at 8?
Yeah. No, we saw it on Saturday nights at 6, right before Three's Company, on Channel 5.
It ran till 87.
We're going to lose the live feed here, so if you've been listening live, thank you very much, and definitely check out www.rtusports.com. And
it's about
we have
to get a lot more cerebral.
Yeah, we're if Too Close for Comfort conversation is way too heady for you, we're about to move on. But please subscribe to the podcast. We have two fun loads coming out too, by the way, because I owe you guys one from last week, and that was a very funny fun load. So check that out, and thank you for joining us live. Thanks to Joe Caparoso from TurnOnTheJets.com and our buddy Hans from Twitter. I don't know if that a thing. Can you say that? Hans from
sure.
Twitter. Right. We're going to continue with the fun load here. So,
consider this. At the time where NBC had Family Ties and Cosby Show and Cheers,
we
ABC
got it
was running Too Close for Comfort into the ground. Keep it on. Just keep it on.
Yeah, and refresh my recollection here with Monroe and homosexuality. Like, unbelievably a feminine character.
Straight, though, on
but
the show.
He was, right?
No.
I don't remember the show well enough to how that was handled.
Well, it was set in San Francisco.
Right, so, right there.
So I think
let's start right there.
There might have been an understanding and a wink-wink kind of thing, but never acknowledged.
Okay.
Way too soon for that.
What, we were just waiting for Monroe to come out of the closet? Was that the idea?
Could have been.
But there had been a gay character on TV already by that time.
Jay Johnson on Soap?
On Soap, yeah. Billy Crystal.
Not Jay Johnson. Jay Johnson had the puppet.
Jay Johnson was the ventriloquist.
Billy Crystal.
I'm sorry, Jay Johnson, if you're listening.
He's a big fan of the show.
Not anymore. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done
it. He's not, actually, but the puppet is.
Billy Crystal was Jody something. Jody Dallas?
Jody Dallas, maybe. Yeah, but wasn't he the first gay character in a primetime sitcom?
I think maybe.
He was a gay character, but at that time, that was, strictly a punchline. It was, oh, he's gay!
I remember Bob Urich used to tell me about that all the time. This kid over here, he plays gay, but he's a good guy.
Bob Urich! He said Bob Urich!
On set, he used to tell me about it all the time.
And he tried to sell you dog food.
Oh, boy. Bob Urich, he said. He said Bob Urich.
That's what we call him.
I can't believe that show could be on with Jim J. Bullock and nobody's saying he's gay.
You know what the J stood for?
Oh, boy.
No. You know what did the J stand for? PJ?
The Jim J stood for PJ. I don't know what the J in Jim J stands for, no. Is that,
Jackson.
That's a good trivia.
Jackson. You know where I learned that?
Robert Conrad?
No, come on. Not Bob. Bob Conrad didn't tell me that. Hollywood Squares.
Got a question?
He was the center square. And John Davidson would go to Jim Jackson Bullock in the center square.
He's from Wyoming.
Who, John Davidson?
Jim J. Bullock.
From Wyoming?
From Wyoming.
Interesting.
What's more interesting is that he was born in 1955.
Are you looking up his statistics?
I had to look him up just to see if I could find the middle name.
Is it Jackson? It's Jackson, right?
It says James Jackson Bullock, yeah.
That's right. Jim Jackson Bullock.
And his daughter is Sandra Bullock.
Really?
No.
I would never have known that.
Just flailing now. I have no trivia to contribute at all.
Monroe Ficus. I'm sorry, not Monroe Farkas. Monroe Ficus. I had that wrong.
Oh, see, I thought it was Farkas.
That's what I thought, too. There's a Farkas on one of the kids' shows these days that I think of.
All right, fine.
That the kids watch.
Hey, what are your two favorite Muppets?
So, my two. Oh, because I never got to reveal that.
From Muppet
Rolf?
Universe and one from Sesame Street.
Love
oh, you
Rolf.
Too?
Yeah,
oh,
that's
man.
Why when you said it, I was like, oh, yeah. I always dig Doug Rolf. And on Sesame Street.
You always played Dig Doug with Rolf.
And never won a game.
Never won a game. Love Dig Doug. Great game.
Every time. Bert. I always liked Bert.
Bert.
Nothing wrong with Bert.
I kind of felt bad for Bert.
So
you have to.
So frustrated.
The universe.
So angry.
The universe has taken a squat on Bert. You have to feel bad for him.
I always felt like Bert was kindred spirits with the skipper from Gilligan's Island. Always exasperated with his
yeah.
goof off of a partner.
Ernie.
Yeah.
Christ.
How did he ever get saddled with Ernie? That's the backstory I want to
know. I think you know the answer to that question, my friend. It takes place in
pretty
San Francisco.
Pretty sure I don't. I'm pretty sure what were they out shopping for striped shirts and they bumped into each other?
Bert and Ernie live in San Francisco. I think that explains a lot of it. A lot like Monroe Ficus.
They live in Sesame Street, and you cut that out.
You shoved that right. Oh, come on. There's nothing wrong with that. They met buying striped shirts. That's a great striped shirt.
Hey, Bert. Let's be friends.
Let's be friends. Ernie.
Ernie.
Ernie, please shut up.
Okay, Bert.
35 years that show's been on. He's going to stab him. One of these days, I watch it every morning now. One of these days, he's going to stab him. They used to do the Bert and Ernie's Big Adventure or whatever it was. It was like a claymation thing. And they don't have that on Sesame Street anymore. It was great. I think it was right in between for you, Peach. I think your kids Cal,
oh,
obviously,
no,
too.
Danny and I got to catch a few episodes of that.
Yeah.
Sure.
It was like a claymation. They don't do it anymore, and I think it's because it took place in San Francisco. I think it was – there were moments of it where like, wow, why don't we just get these two guys out? Like, let's just do this. You know, it was really
– I don't understand people's need to discuss the subtextual sexuality of Muppets.
No, there's no need for – well, but no. Take it this way. Sesame Street, as a learning tool, has, you know, provides all sorts of life lessons for children. And
right, like what to do on Christmas when your dad's in prison.
Exactly. That's very specific, but yes. But no, even, you know, from they have the adoption episode, like where What's-Her-Name adopts a baby, and they all, it's like a two-parter. It was like Dallas. Like, they provide life lessons in many ways. What would be more of a life lesson than if Bert and Ernie were a couple? You know, that showing young people that that's not a bad way to be. It's okay to be that way. You know what I mean? Like, that's why I think that's, and you know this, I'm sort of sounding sanctimonious or preachy or something, but.
Are you talking about the Hall of Fame?
That's right. Let's go back to Mike Piazza. But I think that's why people want to associate or look to do that for Bert and Ernie. because, you know, two guys live together. It's one of my favorite Friends lines of all time. When Joey finally moves out because he gets the part on Days of Our Lives. And he's, you know, he said, well, I just, you know, kind of thought we'd, you know, live together forever. He's like, well, we're not Bert and Ernie. He's like, got to move out at some point. Okay, do we want to talk about Diners or do we want to save that for another show?
I love Diners. I could wax poetic about Diners all night.
I said this recently to no one in particular. I sometimes just talk to myself around the house. No, I Teresa and I were at a diner, and I said I will take a good diner. All a town has to have for me is a good diner, and I can live there. I need a good diner. I don't need a great restaurant. I don't need this or that. I need a great diner. And it's weird because Texas doesn't have diners.
What do you mean Texas doesn't have diners?
I'm gonna say it again slowly. Texas doesn't
flesh
have
that
diners.
Out, please. What do they have?
They don't have the diner. They have like Teresa's hometown has the Blue Bonnet Cafe.
And what do you get at the Blue Bonnet Cafe?
Everything you get at a diner.
Okay.
You got your pie, your for them it's country fried steak or chicken fried steak or whatever it is. You have those things. We have diners. No, they I'm sure they have like an American diner, but they have barbecue and they have like Blue Bonnet Cafe.
Do they have the dives in diners, drive-ins, and dives?
A lot of them.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm. Yes. They have the drive-ins. They still have Sonic.
They have the drive-ins, too?
Yeah, they still have Sonic.
We have a Sonic.
Like, shit, they have a Sonic right in our town. Yeah, but how old is your Sonic?
2 or 3 years old.
Right. The one in her town is, like, 27 years
like,
old.
It's an original.
That's correct. Okay. They still come out on roller skates in her town.
Yeah, they do that here, too. That's a Sonic thing.
Right. Oh, do they really do that?
Yeah. Yeah, they do.
Shut up.
No, they do.
This is in Comac?
Not in Comac, but in North Babylon, which is not far from Comac.
Okay. Don't get defensive. Have you had a Sonic burger over there?
I have had a Sonic experience.
Pretty good.
I like it. And the kids get a kick out of the girls in roller skates. Or guys. Girls or guys.
Girls or guys. Gals.
Bob Urich used to tell me that he used to love the guys on roller skates who come out. He got a real kick out of the guys on...
How did Bob Wagner feel about them?
You mean Lyle Wagner?
No. Bobby Wagner.
Oh, Bobby, I never talk. Lyle Wagner was the guy that I used to talk to all the time.
How about Honus?
He's a handsome man.
How did Honus Wagner feel about it? So, listen, I'm going to do this two ways because it's like a diner.
We're going to talk about diners like they are. Like
I want to know your favorite diner, and then I want to know your go-to diner order. All right. PJ, you start.
My favorite diner is the Rio in Woodbridge, New Jersey.
New Jersey is the capital of diners, right? Can we say that?
Every town has one. Every town probably has 3.
I feel very comfortable, though, really giving New Jersey... Long Island's pretty good. But New Jersey, I feel like, really solid on the diner.
New Jersey has a lot of people who need to eat after midnight. I think that's what it is.
Inexplicably need to eat after
midnight. A lot of people traveling from city jobs... 2:30 in the morning, you want pancakes. Where are you going to go? They're just filling a need.
You need to talk to a Greek. Where are you going to go?
Right.
What are you going to do? I'm
going to... You need a wisecracking waitress who's been up for 16 hours.
Right. Consecutively. We
chewing gum.
Is chewing... Cracking gum.
Cracking gum, of course.
The So you're going with the Rio.
The Rio gave me the best cup of diner coffee I'd ever had.
Oh, see, you just hit something, you know, big time there is the coffee at the place. Let me read this to you guys before we do this. A diner is a diner. A diner is a prefabricated restaurant building characteristic of American life, especially in New Jersey, Pennsylvania, and New York City, and in other areas of the northeastern United States, as well as in the Midwest, although examples can be found throughout the United States, Canada, and parts of Western Europe. Diners are characterized by offering a wide range of foods, mostly American, a distinct exterior structure, a casual atmosphere, a counter, and late operating hours. Classic American diners are often characterized by an exterior layer of stainless steel, a feature unique to diner architecture.
You need to finish saying that like Guy Fieri, though.
The first diner was created in 1872 by a man named Walter Scott. That is off the hook. That is off the hook. That is real deal off the hook. So, just to give a little history, and with that, I want to say the greatest line I've ever heard in a diner. There was a diner in there; it's still there in Williamsburg called Kellogg's. Kellogg's Diner. It's on the corner of Metropolitan and Union. Mm-hmm. And before Williamsburg became hipster paradise, that's where we used to go. That was the only place to go late night to eat food. So we would go in there like, and it is a diner. We would go in there. It's a dive and a diner. We'd go in there at, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning, be out all night or whatever, stop at Kellogg's before going home. And I'm in there with my buddy Terry. You guys all know my buddy Terry. We're in there one night. We go there all the time. And I'm looking at the menu, and I'm, like, perusing it like we're at Nobu. Like, I'm poring over this menu because I can't decide what I want to eat. And Terry just goes to me, he goes, look. He's from Philly, of course, so he goes, look, it's a diner. If it's not on there, they'll make it. That's the point of a diner. And it's so true. Like, I could have come up with anything.
That's 100%
true. The menu is 37 pages long. There's, like, seafood casserole on there. There's no way they could have lobster thumador back there, and they do. They'll make it. Whatever you're thinking, they will make it. I want two bananas with a bagel, peanut butter, 6 slices of bacon, a hard-boiled egg, and a pickle. And she'll be like, do you want fries with that?
Right.
But isn't that the whole point of a diner?
The whole point.
You go to a diner and you can order whatever you want.
That's it. He summed up the whole point of a diner. It's a diner. If it's not on the menu, they'll make it. You should never take that long to order at a diner. You can get anything you want. So anyway, what is your order at the Rio?
I generally would go to the Rio after work, and I would usually get an absurd breakfast. Like... Western omelet.
Was that what it was titled on the menu?
No.
It's
a PJ a la carte special. I like a Western omelet with hash browns, or strike the hash browns, bring me 2 pancakes instead.
Oh, boy.
Because I can have pancakes
at night.
I
think I've seen you order this.
You've seen me
do
this.
You can do that?
Yeah.
You could substitute like that?
Yes. The most they will charge you to substitute anything in a diner is $1.
that a lot.
I don't want the coleslaw on the side. I would like a cheeseburger.
A pancake?
Okay.
And they do that?
They absolutely do that. I always order matzo ball soup if there's a soup available. I love the diner version of matzo ball soup. But generally, I generally, no matter what time of day, I like to get some sort of absurd breakfast at a diner.
Is it a Greek, the Rio?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah.
They had a massive, massive Greek menu.
What was your growing up diner?
Saki. In Staten Island, there was a terrible diner called the Golden Dove, which everybody called the Bloated Goat or the Golden Dive.
Neither of those are complimentary.
No, it was what was available. It was what was local. And that's why my parents really started looking to Jersey for diners, and that's why we ended up, you know, learning the diners of Woodbridge, New Jersey, and Marlboro. We would take the extra 5-minute drive to get a Jersey diner.
Wow, the diners drove you to Jersey.
There was a diner in Jersey on Route 9 called Laura's Pancake House, where pretty much no matter what time of day you got there, there was a line.
Wow.
Diners, you know, that it was an event. You get there at 9 o'clock at night, you still got to wait 10 minutes to get in.
That's ridiculous.
It's awesome.
It is. Wow. Cal, what's your favorite diner?
Favorite diner is a diner I haven't been to in years. It's Thomas's Ham and Eggery Diner. On Old Country Road on Long Island in Carl Place.
That sounds really good.
I have not been, but I've heard of it.
It is fantastic. Fantastic. They serve
breakfast. What you would call a greasy spoon? Is it a greasy spoon?
Oh, it is. But it's so popular that it's kind of like, you know, it's cleaned up its act. But that's the heart of it, is that it's a greasy spoon.
Just like in a 12-step program?
Yeah.
Slap
I'm
a fresh
glad, you
know,
the, gre- the greasy spoon is the diner that you can forgive, even though they're a little bit unsavory.
Well, listen, I'm glad it cleaned up its act.
Now, this is a good place. They serve you your breakfast in a skillet.
Oh, see, you can't lose there. Can't lose.
Right. That's high
so
society.
Good.
I'm sorry.
Is this
that's good.
Is Hold on, though. High society. Is this a diner, though?
It's a diner.
I mean, do we have the full? Is there a souvlaki siding? Is there an open faced turkey sandwich siding?
It's not a Greek diner.
Okay, but can I get a Reuben there?
You get whatever you want there. I mean, it's known for its breakfast, obviously.
Well,
if you could do breakfast, lunch, and dinner any time of day, it's a diner.
Right.
I think that's the real criteria.
That's a qualification. Can I get a turkey tuna melt?
Yes.
How is the tuna melt?
I wouldn't know. I don't like tuna melts.
Right. You've never been with.
No matter what your kids order, are they going to get Jell-O at the end? Are they just going to? They're just going to bring them a cup of Jell-O because that also makes it a diner. Hey, the kids are here. You'll bring a Jell-O.
Hey.
Unless you want a cookie to take home,
cookie.
I'll give you a cookie.
Cookie, yes.
And the cookie's old and it's rough, but the kid wolfs it.
No, it's in cellophane. It's awesome.
Yeah. Cellophane cookie. And what's your go-to order at the Ham and Eggery?
Well, it's not. I mean, it's my go-to order at any diner. I get 2 eggs over easy with bacon, a side of whole wheat toast, and corned beef hash.
Ooh, you do it!
Yeah.
Guess what I had this past weekend upstate, up in Roxbury? Oh, corned beef hash, that's right.
Oh, you didn't even give me a chance to guess.
Oh, it's I won't, because it was so good. And I've been on Atkins for so long, and not Atkins, but like low carb or whatever. And I got a side of it, and I said to Teresa, I said, "You got to eat half of this. There's potatoes in here." And she's like, "Yeah, I'll do. No problem. I'll eat half of it. Don't worry about it." And I'm like, I look down, and I got like an egg white omelet. Like I was good everywhere else. I didn't eat my toast.
Yeah.
Even though the bread looked amazing. And I'm just scooping in this corned beef hash, just scooping it up. And I'm like, "You've had like a forkful of this. I've had 37 forkfuls of this." All right, it was so good. That's a great call.
And there's bonus points, because everybody in my family hates it. They think it looks like dog food.
Right.
So they get a kick out of the fact that I'm eating dog food.
Right, so you get the little entertainment value.
Yeah, but you know,
did you ever see
laughing?
An unhappy dog eating? Come on.
No. It's not Scrapple either. Come on, it's corned beef hash.
But it depends on where you are.
Scrapple's rough. I don't know if you've had Scrapple. You boys have been to Pennsylvania and had Scrapple.
No, I'm talking corned beef.
Scrapple
hash.
Can be made very tasty.
I like it quite a bit. I had it when we went to Thomas the Tank Engine in Lancaster. And we were in like a boxcar diner.
Amish country?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. You know, Teresa had never seen an Amish person before.
Really?
She's from Texas. She had no idea.
How did she react?
It was funny. She was like taking pictures of them and stuff. And I'm like, that's not, they don't like that at all.
Did she try to pull their beards? I mean, what was she trying to do?
No, I mean, she's like we would be driving past one of the carriages, and she's like taking pictures and stuff, and I'm like, that's really not, that's not really nice. And she's like, "Well, they're not American Indians. I'm not stealing their soul." I'm like, "Yeah, that's true. That's a good point. All right, snap away."
They're just people in wool clothing.
Yeah, there's no zippers. That's all. I have a question for both you boys, though, because you both said that your breakfast is the go-to order. And so I have to amend my question. What's your non-breakfast order in a diner? So what's your non-breakfast food go-to order in a diner, in your respective diners?
I like the... I like the Greek platter.
What does that entail?
Usually that's just a gyro with a Greek salad and like maybe one other thing, like a baby spanakopita or something.
What if you're in an American diner?
You have a lot of rules.
Cheeseburger and disco fries? That's always a good one.
Disco fries. Well, I was going to say, mine is, fries with, one of my go-to orders is fries with mozzarella and brown gravy.
Yeah.
Obviously.
We're too far south to call that, whatever, Garden State poutine or something. It's disco fries.
Yeah. Oh, is that
the same thing?
Is that disco fries?
That's disco fries, yeah.
I never knew that was synonymous.
Yeah, cheese and gravy.
Brown gravy.
Oh, gravy. I'm sure it all comes out of the same can.
Well, it's all Franco-American. I mean, let's be honest.
Right.
Yeah, sometimes you get the turkey gravy, which was always great. Like you would get the fresh turkey gravy. You know, Cal, we used to go to the Candlelight. The Candlelight was our diner. Where we grew up in Comac. Very solid diner. Very solid.
Yeah.
Good solid B. They did a lot of things well. What's your non-breakfast go-to, Cal?
It's probably...
I'm going to tell you, if I'm living right and I'm not worrying about anything... in life, like my health, mine's a Monte Cristo. If I'm at a real diner and they have a Monte Cristo on there, let's do this. Let's just get crazy. Let's do it.
Can you have that any time but before bed? Like, can you have that at 3 o'clock and still go on with your day?
You've got to go to sleep at 4. Then.
That's sleepy time food for me.
Yeah. Oh, most, yeah, that's the end of the day there. I love a good tuna melt. I love a good club.
I get a BLT.
Yeah, I love a good BLT. God, see, diners have so much of what I want.
Love diners.
There's probably one open right now.
You're guessing.
We could all meet there.
I have a great one in my neighborhood. I have Jackson Hole right in my neighborhood.
That's not a diner. That's more of a restaurant.
No,
right?
No. Ours is a diner. Nope. Ours is boxcar. Silver on the outside. Ours is a diner.
I'm thinking of the restaurant in the city.
Yep. I mean, that's a diner too, but it's in Manhattan. Ours is a straight diner. The one in Bayside. And ours is like the original.
The one that I'm thinking of is the burger place, Jackson Hole.
Yeah, see, it's not a burger place. It's a diner.
They just
have 7-ounce burgers, and they're famous for their burgers, but it's a diner. It's breakfast all day. It's, you know, they have all the Greek stuff on the menu. It's a diner. Yeah, it's
I'll take your word for it.
I go there, you know, twice a week.
And you would know. Yeah.
Well, the one in Bayside, though, is built like a diner. It's silver all over. It's the neon lights. It's the jukeboxes at the table, which we didn't even talk about.
Oh.
Yeah, Jackson Hole in Bayside still has jukeboxes on the table. I played Air Supply the other night.
Of course you did.
Well, my kids love it.
They love Air Supply.
They love Air Supply. They're crazy about it. Wesley's all lost in love. No, wait, that's not Air Supply, is it?
He's all out of love.
Sure it is.
All out of love. There it is.
Lost in love, and I don't know much.
But yeah, they love it. My breakfast order is pretty simple. I like the eggs on the pancakes.
What?
Yep.
You can't go wrong.
The hungry man.
That's crazy talk.
The hungry man. Yep.
On top of the pancakes?
On top of the pancakes. Let's just do this. Let's do this. Two eggs over easy on top of the pancakes. Side of bacon or sausage. Let's go. Let's go.
That's crazy. I'm sorry.
And then you get the yolk with the.
I gotta tell you two quick diner stories too.
Yeah.
They don't have to be quick.
That
take your time with them. I love this stuff.
That diner by you in Freehold, PJ, is magnificent.
Oh, the one where the waitress came to the table with a cigarette in her mouth?
That's correct.
Or do we just both remember it that way? I swear she had a cigarette in her mouth.
It happened. It was 2000. It was 2004. It could totally have happened.
What can I get you, honey?
What can I get you, hon? I was like, I'll have the mozzarella sticks. And the fries with gravy and a BLT, and please take the cigarette out of your mouth. And a cup of coffee, of course.
That waitress, Cal, she came with the building. I mean, she was ancient and awesome.
Yeah, she was magnificent. She was right from Central Casting. She was like, oh, you have like a 57-year-old diner here that's like an original boxcar one? We have somebody for that. We'll send her over.
And I think you ended up with mozz sticks because you tried to order poppers.
That's right. That's correct.
She's like, I want some jalapeno poppers. She's like, we're out.
Yeah. I think she might have even said, that's not happening.
Yeah,
that's not happening. Those aren't happening for you tonight. Okay, I'll have the mozzarella sticks, I guess, then. And some fries with mozzarella and brown gravy, please.
I'm surprised she didn't tell you what you were having. No, the poppers? No, you're going to have the mozzarella sticks. Okay.
Sure. Sounds good. That place was great.
I want to hear PJ's stories.
Well, one is we had an ongoing argument with my dad. For like 5 years in a row, whenever we went to a diner, he would order the prime rib.
Because of course.
Because he likes prime rib. And the prime rib would come. And it's like an $11.99 prime rib special. So you get the appetizer, the soup, the salad, the prime rib, a side, and a dessert for $12. And the prime rib would come out, and you go, oh,
and
a
T-shirt,
so
and an iPad.
Yeah, and he'd always, he'd look at it and be like, oh, this is so fatty. I can't believe they gave me a piece with this fatty. We're like, Dad, you got to stop ordering prime rib here.
The shock and indignation. I can't believe this.
This is
you're
not
at
a
diner.
You're at a diner. You're not at Sparks.
Oh, it's so fatty. I can't believe it's so fatty.
If you can't get a good prime rib at a diner, then where can you get one?
Right. Well, that was his point, and he meant it.
If a man is in South Orange, New Jersey at a diner, and he cannot get a decent prime rib, where are we, people?
Honestly, my dad was not expecting a decent prime rib. He was expecting an excellent prime rib.
Like a Peter Luger prime rib.
They cooked it medium well. Of course they did, Dad. They don't know how to cook it any other way. What are you talking about?
There are legal
ramifications
here, Dad.
This thing wasn't on a grill. This thing was fried on a cooktop.
That's all they have here, Dad. It's not like there's charcoal in the back.
And this didn't happen once. This happened like a dozen times.
He has a skillet and a flat top. He's making hash browns. He's putting your prime rib right on top of it.
Hey, you know what I think I'm going to get? Dad, don't do it. I'm going to get the prime rib. Dad, don't get the prime rib.
How many times? Of course it's well done, Dad. There are legal ramifications here. They have to cover their ass, Dad. They don't
want to
get
runny
sued.
Eggs. You can't get a rare steak.
But that always blew me away. Like, we've all been in the, your dad included, like, we've all been in the diner with somebody who ordered something. Like, really? Come on, guy.
You're going to get chicken parmesan in the diner?
Hey, now you stop right there.
Oh, actually, yeah.
If I used to get chicken parma at diners.
Yeah?
Because it's a safe order.
I don't know.
It's a safe order. It's a breaded chicken cutlet with cheese and sauce. Like, it's a safe order.
Yeah, but they could also make it with, like, ketchup and provolone cheese.
No, I'm not saying it was good. I'm saying I've been at, like, diners I didn't trust. Like, where you're not going to get the chicken salad, or maybe the eggs have been sitting there for quite some time.
Well, then you get a burger.
Yeah.
I think.
Can I tell you my son's go-to order?
Sure.
We are at a diner. My son gets... If he can get him to do it.
It's a diner. They'll make it.
He gets calamari fra diavolo on angel hair pasta. He's nine.
In a diner.
He loves it. He found it on one menu.
And the waiter
asks for it. Everywhere.
With his hairy chest hanging out, like he's got like his shirt, two buttons open. You know, and his, you know, hairy chest. Really? That's what he wants? Man, he gives you a little, this kid. Okay.
Yeah.
They sort of respect it. They oddly respect it.
Yeah. They ask him, you know, is it spicy? Yeah, he knows it's spicy. It's going to burn his lips. I know.
He's in on it. I'll tell you what, I got Wesley ordering pancakes on a Sunday night at 7 o'clock at a diner.
Nice.
At Jackson Hole.
Nice.
We go to, he loves.
Sleep very well.
Loves the diner. And for a while, every restaurant, because he likes Jackson Hole so much, was a diner. It was the only way to tell him, like, it was the only way to sort of get him to behave. Like, we're going to a restaurant. We're going to a diner.
We're going to
a diner.
Peter Luger's diner.
Right, exactly. That was exactly it. Because he knew how to behave in Jackson Hole only. But now he, you know, hey Wes, do you want to go to the diner tonight? Yeah. What are you gonna get? Pancakes. It's 6:30 at night. Don't care. Pancakes. Because he was fascinated by the idea that you could have pancakes for dinner.
Hey Wes, what are you gonna get? What am I going to get? This guy over here.
This guy. You believe this guy?
What am
I
going to
try to prime rib, Dad. Don't do it, Wes. It's fatty. No, it's going to be fine.
Can't believe it's fatty.
What do you mean, fatty? It's a diner. You know what they're doing.
What could go wrong? Of course I'll have the lobster. What could go wrong? How long has it been back there? Who knows?
They don't have a lobster tank here.
I didn't see a lobster tank when I walked in. I'm sure it's fresh.
Chicken Diane? Of course. It's got to be good there.
What could go wrong?
What's your go-to diner dessert? I think we've talked about this, but...
Oh, for real? I don't remember talking about it.
I don't think we have.
Mine is always...
Never did.
I don't think we did. Mine is always pie. I want to see if they have a good pie there. Although with the Greek restaurants, a lot of times I'll have cake. Like a lot of times like I'll have like a chocolate cake or something like that.
Mm.
But if they have like an apple pie that they can put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on, I'm in. I'm good there. Yeah, that's a good call for me. I'm usually so friggin' full though from the, you know.
I know, but you know, you're on your third refill of coffee, and a dessert would just go so nice with that final cup.
Well, that's also where I was explaining this to somebody the other day because I drink coffee a lot with meals. Like any meal. And it's something I saw my dad growing up doing. But it's a diner thing too. Like I sit down at a diner any time of the day, no matter how much coffee I've had during the day, and I order a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. Could be
a glass of water, right?
That's it. It could be my 37th cup of coffee of the day. I'm getting coffee. When she comes over, he or she comes over for that first pass, can I get you guys anything to drink? Yeah, I'll have coffee. I mean, it's like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I sort of learned to drink coffee during a meal while eating a meal that way because of diners or watching my dad do it. Like, my dad drinks coffee with, like, dinner. You know, because he doesn't drink wine. And so I do that all the time. I have a cup of coffee with lunch every day. I don't drink
a lot of coffee, don't you?
I do drink quite a bit of coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the numbers are our numbers the last few years very good. We're trending upward.
Coffee's happy with you. The coffee industry is. Did they send you a t-shirt?
They're very pleased.
Thank you for your support.
Thank you for your service.
We can expect your continued support in 2015. Here's a travel mug for you.
It was
signed coffee.
Yours truly, Guatemala.
Love, Colombia. Yeah, they're pleased with me. I'm doing a hell of a job. But yeah, you're on your third cup of coffee. What are you getting for dessert, PJ? Damn it.
Rice pudding.
Oh, there it is. There it is.
I love diner rice pudding.
It's such a diner order.
With or without raisins?
Gauntlet thrown.
I never knew that raisins were an option at a diner. So as long as I was getting the cinnamon on top, I was very happy.
Really?
I never thought to ask for raisins.
Yeah, but surely you've had it before, right?
I've had rice pudding with raisins, yes.
I say no raisins. I think raisins are un-American.
I don't seek it out with raisins, but it's good with raisins.
You take it either way.
But do you take it on the run, baby?
As long as they bring it to me with a little cinnamon on top. And, you know, sometimes they'll even be like, you want a little whipped cream? It's, oh, yeah, I want the whipped cream, sure.
Then you turn into...
It's fine.
You turn into Orson Welles. Of course I do.
And Mr. Howell. yes, of course.
Cal, what's your go-to dessert? And then we got to wrap.
A wrap.
Yeah, we got to get a wrap. Exactly.
Cheesecake.
There it is.
cheesecake.
It's always bound to be a decent cheesecake.
It's
it
my
is.
Go-to dessert, whether I'm at a diner or I'm at a fancy restaurant.
It's your go-to dessert.
Yeah, always. That's what it will be. Or it's the Rainforest Cafe, wherever I am.
Why'd you pick
Luscious.
That one?
Decadent.
Because we go there once a year.
To see the gorilla?
To see the animatronic gorilla.
Just to sit in the rainstorm?
It's great.
Wait, stop.
I love that place.
When the thunder starts and it's like, uh-oh, here
yeah.
we go.
Oh, fantastic.
And if you're close enough to where the rain is, then you get a little, get sprayed a little bit.
Forget the jambalaya, the one that they warn you is too hot.
No.
Oh.
If you order
the jambalaya, the manager will come out and say, look, this is the hottest thing we serve. Are you sure you want this? And you have to say yes to the manager. And then
you have to give sign something.
Verbal consent?
Yes. Yes. You do.
Wow.
Like there's
it's
all kinds
good.
Of ambient conversation going on and noises. And I'll have the jambalaya.
Everything stops.
Needle goes off the record.
The waitress gets really... I'll be right back.
The chimpanzee stops screaming.
They all look at you sideways. The animals.
Give the jambalaya.
The chimpanzee turns his head. Does the huge head tilt.
Mm-hmm.
The parrot's eyes bug out of its head. Sir, it's come to my attention that you have ordered the jambalaya.
Guy dressed like Steve Irwin comes out of the back. He's in a khaki outfit.
Yeah, I did. We're just going to need you to sign a few forms right here. The whole restaurant watching. And here, an initial here, please.
You have someone that can co-sign for you.
Is this your wife, sir? Is this your wife? Hi, ma'am. Would you be willing to stipulate that I have, he's like reading from a script, this stipulates that I have warned you about the jambalaya. So it's that hot, eh?
It's spicy. It's very spicy.
You have such
jambalaya.
A delicate palate, though.
Who?
You have a delicate palate. You're a daisy. You have a delicate palate.
Mr. Bishop enjoys the spicy.
George likes the Kung Pao?
Would you be Mr. the Bishop?
You would be Mr. the Bishop.
In 2015, we're adding a Mr. Yeah.
Just according to your rules, you would be Mr. the Bishop.
Mr. the Bishop.
All right. Let's wrap it, boys. PJ, final unload.
I got nothing to say except looking forward to a great year. This is it. This is my resolution. This is the year I get it done. Getting it done. That's it. Getting it done.
Still getting it done?
Cal, final unload.
So last week I was really happy about my St. John's Red Storm being number 15 in the nation. That was right before the New Year's holiday. Number 15 in the nation. They've lost 3 in a row, dropped out of the top 25, and they might not win another game ever. So,
the Calvi curse.
But I'm keeping it in perspective.
Happy New Year.
Keeping it in perspective. Happy New Year, everyone.
You know why? They had the jambalaya.
They didn't sign for it either.
And my final unload is, I just want to wish a happy birthday to my niece, who somehow, inexplicably, turns 18 today. 18! Which means two things. One, she's grown into an awesome, super cool, great girl. Young lady who we are all super proud of. And two, man, we're old. Holy shnikes.
Yeah.
Man, we're old. 18. Happy birthday, Sam. We all love you. Okay, that is it for Radio Unload with Colin, Sam, Pete, and Bishop. We will talk to everybody next week. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, everyone. And good night, boys.
Good night. Oh, tiramisu.
Good night.
They have tiramisu. I'll order tiramisu if they don't have the rice pudding.
Oh, good. We can end now. Sir, I'm just going to need you to initial here as well. And then if you can just... Yes. Initial here. I'll need your Social Security number. And,
I brought my lawyer.
Next of kin.
And hey, Johnny, can you send the notary out?
Table six.
God forbid you order it with no rice.
Good night.